Father, thank you so much tonight for making room for us on this altar. Thank you for your grace that draws us, your grace that keeps us. Father, your grace that carries us. We thank you for your mercy, O God, that has given us access 24/7 by the blood of the Lamb to your throne. Father, we consecrate ourselves to you. Father, sanctify our ears tonight, our eyes, that we may hear and see and understand that out of obedience we will be able to manifest fruit in that which you are doing in our lives. Thank you for this new season that you've called us into. Father, may we walk by faith and not by sight, so that truly as we wait on you, we will be totally led by your Spirit, so we can truly start seeing the things that you are releasing into our lives in this morning. Thank you for how far you brought us, and I thank you for what you are doing. And to you belongs all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We thank God for this privilege to be together. We'll never take it for granted. It is truly the grace and the mercy of God that gives us the opportunity to wait upon the Lord and the Spirit of God to do what He's doing. We are meditating and processing through some of the things the Lord releases into our life during the season, the times of consecration, into the first months of this Hebraic year. And the more that we are meditating and processing and praying and applying some of these prophetic awakenings, these prophetic things that God has given to us, we are truly gradually begin to really see fruit. And I pray that it's the same with you, and if not, that God will truly bring the reality of the season into your personal life. We see what is happening across the nation, and but for us at this moment, the best way to encourage ourselves in the Lord is to personalize, to experience the scriptures that God is telling us, that connects us to an open heaven in this new season. So again, Psalms 102 verse 13 is one of the scriptures we're standing on. So it's very clear that it's the mercy of God that is making room for us in this season. It's not anything we've done or have done, but it is that God has risen, and remember, you know, and for His mercy's sake, this season that has been appointed to us, for favor has come. So we are standing on that scripture and other scriptures because we believe it's a new season. Now, we talked about in this new season, we believe God is going to be bringing down walls that separates us from our promises, walls that are keeping us from moving forward, whatever they are, like the walls of Jericho in the natural, the mountains of Zechariah says these mountains shall become plain. So we are believing God that as we wait on the Lord in this season, there are mountains that has to come down so that we can walk in our breakthroughs. We talked about experiencing, you know, parallels, metaphors of coming out of the wilderness, you know, the place of trials, the place of testings, the place we've been waiting on God, place that, you know, promises has been, appears delayed, into the place of promise, the place of inheriting, manifesting promises. So that's things we're praying into in this season. Of course, we've said that this season truly is a season of visitation. There's one lady that has twice now called me, and in her church. He says, I have never experienced this level of an open heaven in my life in the area of scriptures. Every time she leaves prayer or come, she said, every time I open the Bible, it's almost like I just said revelation, understanding. It's like she's just loaded with clarity. I mean, God is just loading and just, she's becoming so sensitive to the things of the Spirit. He said, there's no doubt something is happening. So we're talking about seasons of visitation. So people are experiencing this in various ways. And they're testifying to that. Just 2 days ago, I told you about my personal testimony that I really went a new season. And it's like the Lord is building, he's just building on what he spoke. He will show something else. You know, these are personalized things. 2 days ago, again, he built upon what, it's like somebody putting puzzles together. And I am really excited about what God has in store for us in this year, based on what I am personally receiving. This particular time, God spoke very clearly to me in a dream. You know, so like we said, God is going to visit in many ways, through the word, through a dream, through prophecy, through visions, and he's doing it with different people. 2 days ago was through a dream for me. And then we talked about that God is, at least he says he'll give us the keys of the kingdom, but one major key that we are applying as we wait in this season is the key of David, which is worship. God says use worship to unseal, to unlock the prayers you've been praying for a long time. Release the answers upon your life. Release these promises. Just stay in that place of worship. So we're still doing that, and as God leads us, we pray, and then we implement what he's doing. And then we talked about this season will establish the purpose for which we are geographically positioned. Sometimes we think it's a coincidence, you know, where we live, where we're planted, whether in the US or in Canada or wherever you are. But the Bible says it's God that sets the boundaries of our habitation for a purpose. You know, that we might seek the Lord. So the purpose for which you are in US or you're in Colorado or you're in Tennessee, whatever, you know, God is going to be highlighting that. And for me, I am very much seeing that aspect. God is really clarifying something about why we are where we are, and especially why we are in America at this moment is becoming very obvious. And ASLPN's assignment in the nation, the next step is becoming clarified since we've been waiting. So this is, I'm only sharing all this to let you know that God is really doing a new thing in this season, and is making the crooked way straight. This season also is when God will also be highlighting the purpose for which we are born. We just cannot be living anyhow, just living just for job or for living for ministry or for profession. But whatever we've been doing prior to now, God will use the beginning this year, the very reason we are born into this generation, the very must be pursued and highlighted in our lives, so that we can be more effective in our obedience and calling and redeeming time in this season. And then of course, God wants us to be secured in our destiny, in the area of our spiritual identity, area of our spiritual identity and assignment. If we don't understand really who we are, it affects our effectiveness in our assignment with the Lord. And of course, the Lord also showed to us, this is our just in a way of bringing us to remembrance, or also reminding us to keep focused prayer in these various areas. Also, the Lord told us we're moving from the kingdom of Saul, the house of Saul, to the house of David. And interestingly, as we've been talking about this into this new season, somebody that was in our church and came and heard what I was saying sent me a video, and he it was a very well sought after minister in America here that is well known for his integrity in the area of his prophetic ministry. God showed him something and he was speaking the same word for word. He says you are moving from the house of Saul to the house of David, and he used 2 Samuel 3 verse 1 and was trying. The person sent, he said, wow, look at this, you know, you've been talking about it. He says this is the season we're going to, and the man was repeating the same thing. So whatever it will take for us to allow our hearts to be circumcised, for God to remove anything that will keep us from embracing whatever is about what the new thing is doing, a part of the ways that we're waiting on the Lord. Then the word of the Lord for the season, God is saying that our focus in the area of the word of the Lord, to study, to meditate. And the Lord showed to me, says when he rose from the dead, he took 40 days teaching and establishing and teaching the disciples about the kingdom of God. The king, before he left, 40 days after resurrection, focusing the kingdom. Jesus came, all he taught was the kingdom. John the Baptist, all he was talking about was the kingdom of God. And then Jesus again tells his disciples, you must go and manifest, represent the kingdom. And then taught them. So God is saying, he's bringing us back, restoration to that mindset, the kingdom mindset, the understanding of the kingdom. So I want to today continue, and as we go into this area, I want to start gradually introducing a little bit of the kingdom, a kingdom mindset, the kingdom approach, because, and I will tell you why in the teaching, one aspect of it, why that is it's going to help us a lot as we embrace the surprises the kingdom of God has for us in this new season. The first scripture I want to read to you, let me open to the book of Micah. Micah chapter 4. I want to start that. That's a prophetic word. You know, always remember that in the Old Testament, when these prophets prophesied, they were always releasing a word that, when you rightly divide the word, first, the prophetic words some are to manifest, it is connected to Israel as a nation. And then it parallels what God wants to do with the church prophetically. And then you can personalize it in what God is doing with you, or your ministry, or your calling. It depends on the content of the prophecy. For example, Isaiah 61 was a prophetic word about the anointing. It has to do with Jesus. You know, and Jesus quoted the same scripture in his calling, in his ministry. But then it has to do with God visiting the nation of Israel under the anointing of Isaiah 61. And then later, the anointing continues as it relates to the Spirit of the Lord upon the church. And that the church now carries the visitation of that Spirit and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. So, and then you individualize how that also impacts your ministry and the gifts and the calling and the gifts of the Spirit flowing through you. So, having that in mind, there's a prophetic word in the book of Micah about the kingdom of God, but it has to do first with what God is saying to Israel. It's going to be by Israel. Verse 4, Micah 4, verse 1, it says, but in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord, the mountain of the house of the Lord, shall be established in the top of the mountains, and a they shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow into it. And many nations shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we shall walk in his path. For the word of God shall go forth out of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So, so many translations will say different things, but some translation will say something like, But in the last days shall come to pass that the mountain of the Lord shall be on top of every other mountain, or shall be the chief of every other mountain, things like that, or shall be over every other mountain. Now, that word has to do with when God restores Israel, but it also has to do with the church. Parallel. So what is God is basically, let's take from this context, is that God is saying there are various mountains in the world. Here he's talking about the government of the nations, the rulers of the nations. And apart from the rulers of the nations, within every nation, they narrowed some, the mountains that shape the culture of every nation into different seven spheres of influence. They call it the seven mountains or seven spheres of influence. So mountains represent government, represent the ruling government, or the oversight, or the major influencing the major influence that also helps to shape the culture or the destiny of the people that live in that nation. So here Micah was received, it was says in the last days that the mountain of God's house, meaning the place the church will take, the restoration of the kingdom of God, or the mountain of the Lord, meaning the kingdom, the government of the kingdom, will rule over every mountain. Over every mountain, over, in other words, over all the nations, or over every sphere of influence. And then the people, because of the glory and the reign of the mountain of God's house, the people will begin to look towards that. And that mountain will begin to shape the expectation and the desires of the nations. So that's a prophetic promise. But also you will see that promise also in the book of Isaiah 60. He said there will be a time, God says, arise and shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is come upon you. For though darkness will cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the glory of the Lord will arise, and his glory shall be seen upon you, and kings shall come to the rising. Your people will come from the north to south. So again, it's talking about the glory of the church, or the glory of Israel in the last days. So, or individual calling. So as we look at this, I wanted to first of all establish that it is always been the mountain of the Lord that God establishes dominion, authority over every other mountain. So for example, when God first set the pace of things in the earth, when Adam and Eve were in right standing with God, when God gave them dominion, authority to rule and to reign and to supervise and to oversee the affairs of the earth. So that then they were right standing. In other words, they were the first church that God established on earth, and they were in charge and they ruled. So when they lost that position, then Satan now started usurping rulership, and as man multiplied in the earth, Satan started establishing what we call mountains today, or governments, or systems. Now, and these systems, indirectly ruled by the prince of this world, they can go as far as until God finds somebody that is now in right standing of with God, and that person now becomes God's house, or God's represents God's government. And when that person represents God's house or God's government, God now takes that person again and put it on top of every other mountain over the world. For example, the dealing with this, of course, after the flood, God used Noah, who found favor with the Lord, and he became what Noah built, now took precedence over the whole world. And then Joseph came. You know the story of Joseph. Of course, Abraham had influence, you know, that even kings feared him because he had a relationship with God. But Joseph, when he came, when God used Joseph to restore. Again, if somebody, God gave him a vision and said, I just want to use you as a sign, as an example, as a signet sign of where I want my church to be, where I want my people to see. This is your position in the earth. The world looks to you. The world receives their influence from you. You shape the mind, you shape the interest from the top of the world's mountain. And then Egypt was pretty much world power, and Joseph, literally the Pharaoh had to listen to Joseph. And based on Joseph's position and ruling from the mindset of God, now influence the nations from Egypt, and the whole nation came to Egypt at that time to receive guidance and nourishment and survival. So God used that again. These are just moments in history. God was always bringing back the people to say, this is where I want, this is my mountain. He rules over the world. So after the fall, so later it continued like that until the children of Israel were in Egypt. And then here's one man, Moses. As soon as he left Egypt, went back, and God took him through the process that would give him a new identity. And based on that new identity, or that new reality of an encounter with God after 40 years, he comes back as a legislator, as a representative of God's kingdom, as an extension of the mountain of the house of the Lord, representing the kingdom of God. As soon as Moses came, he literally used or he established dominion over Egypt and brought a nation out of a nation. So these are just little glimpses of the kingdom of God being reflected out of people who embrace this. So God was, these are signs and manifestation of the kingdom of God when the right standing has been established. So it continued like that, but we'll just fast forward really quick until Jesus came. And then when Jesus came, then he now started talking clearly that the kingdom of God is now being restored. Starting with him, the kingdom of God is now here. Every other person that came was a forerunner, was a shadow. They were pointing towards his coming. And the reason why the coming of Jesus was the revelation and the manifestation of the fullness of God's kingdom is because this was God himself manifested in the flesh to fully reflect the position that God wants the kingdom of God to reflect in the fallen world, in the fallen generation. So Jesus became the first begotten from that kingdom, became the first, the sent one, the what you call the first church, you know, that represents the church in his time. And so when Jesus came and became the first fruits, the first of the first fruits, to reflect the light of this kingdom in the midst of darkness, this is what he started. This is the thing we've discussed in the past, but based on the season we're entering into, God is saying, I'm restoring the message of the kingdom. Why? Because this season, God is restoring the reign of God's kingdom. And the person who carries the authority, the power, and the reign of God's kingdom is the Holy Spirit. So when the power of the Holy Spirit is come upon you, when the Holy Spirit is come upon you, you have power. You have power. Dunamis means the manifestation that comes through the authority and the representation of the kingdom of God that the Holy Spirit establishes through power. So here, as we're going into this new season, God is saying, I want to restore that kingdom understanding, kingdom mindset, so that we can now also expect to walk in that kingdom power. And the season we're entering into, we are moving towards the restoration of that kingdom in the eyes of the world. And so the mounting of the Lord's house, meaning the church, first of all, will experience these visitations and revival. And as the church experiences revival and awakening, now the church will now be on top of every other mountain. The church will now take its place back in the place of rulership and of kingdom dominion. And then the world, and no matter what happens in the world, will now see the church the way they're supposed to see the church, that the church has not really been. So that's why we now have to prepare our mind, prepare our understanding, prepare ourselves, because that's where God is going in this season. And that's what God is doing individually, corporately, and as the church as a whole. So I want to read a scripture here. I want to read a few scriptures that will begin to empower us and provoke us towards positioning ourselves with a kingdom mindset. The first I want to read is a familiar one we've been working on for quite some time. The Lord has been dealing with us for some time. Is in Matthew chapter 16. It says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And he said, some say that you are John the Baptist, some say you are Elijah, some say Jeremiah, others say you are one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say you that I am? And Jesus, Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Now verse 18 says, and I say unto you, unto thee, that thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you, unto you, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. The keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, we're going to be getting more understanding from the scriptures now that we're going to be looking into these prophetic things and into restoration, the mindset of the kingdom. But the first thing I want to bring out here, and I'll read some other scriptures, what positions us to effectively rule and reign and operate with a kingdom mindset is our identity. It's our identity. So one is, we have to have, in this new season, we cannot live with two different identity. We have to first of all know what identity the kingdom of God rules through. The kingdom of God can never be inherited by flesh and blood. So in this new season, we must have a sonship mindset. A daughter, you must establish by faith through the blood of Jesus that you are the child of God. That you are the son of God. You are the daughter of the Most High God. That's why you're born. That has to be completely unquestionable and settled in your spirit, in your heart. You have to register that as your first identity at this point. You live right now, let's say for example, if you are from Nigeria, and you're a citizen of Nigeria, and you're born in Nigeria, okay, you live in America, okay. So the fact that you live in America and you're a citizen of Nigeria does not deny your citizenship. Or if you're a citizen of America and then you live in Europe, you're working in Europe or you're doing some missionary work in Europe, that does not take away your citizenship because you're living in Europe. So your citizenship is America. So the thing is, now Paul says we are aliens here. Yes.
Okay. So when you take that principle, you know, your citizenship right now with the kingdom of God has to, for the kingdom of God to establish or enforce the place of authority that you're going to walk in, the kingdom of God and your citizenship has to be number one priority. So the maturity of a believer, the maturity of a believer is walking in the place of full understanding of sonship. Paul put it this way. He says in Galatians chapter 2:20, he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But it's not I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And the life I live in this flesh, this world, is by faith. Is by faith. In other words, Paul is saying, my identity is nothing but the Son of God, Christ in me. Nothing. That's my identity. But I live in this flesh by faith. In other words, I relate to people as human. I'm here, but internally, I am nothing but the Son of God. That's my reference point, and I walk by faith. So, because he says I'm crucified with Christ. Then in Colossians chapter 3, he says this. He says, if you are risen with Christ, he says, seek those things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your affections on the things that are above, not on the things on the earth. For you are dead, and you are now, your life is hidden with Christ in God. I don't want to go through all those grammar, but because I like to explain it more practically, the way God gives me best way to anchor this in the spirit and soul. So what Paul is generally saying here is, in his time, he came to a place where he entered into what he called the maturity of a believer. Paul was done considering himself as putting the citizenship of this earth as the number one. Paul was 100% a citizen of heaven first, but saw himself as a missionary in the earth, an ambassador, a sign to the earth. So that's what I'm saying, that as we enter 2019, God is going to be reshaping our mindset to the point where our citizenship in heaven will become so real that we now understand we're just ambassadors here. We are here on a mission, and that's what we're going to start fulfilling beginning 2019, to become a priority. I am serving a kingdom agenda. You know, I'm no more building Pharaoh's pyramid. So that's the first thing, identity of the believer, or a mature believer. Jesus is saying, you will build your church on that reality. And that's the reality that the kingdom of hell cannot stop. The gates mean the government, because it's a place of rulership. You know? So then, based on that reality, then we'll be able to handle the keys of the kingdom with that level of assignment. Now, let's quickly go to a different place. I just want to touch a few things to prepare us for this mindset shift. This mindset shift as to be able to receive the things God is doing in this season. The next scripture I want to read here is in the kingdom prayer. Is the kingdom, that one is kingdom identity in the area of assumption. The first one I read, some of these things we might probably go break them one by one in different teaching sessions. But the next one is kingdom praying. Kingdom praying, because we know Jesus says, when we pray, we say, thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's the literally the summary of a kingdom prayer. Jesus is saying the focus, there's a place you get to. Your prayer is kingdom based. Reflects the kingdom of God. Meaning, whatever we pray must be something the kingdom of God is influencing us to enforce. So, in kingdom praying is a scripture that we'll be looking at, and that's in Mark 11, 22 and 23. A kingdom praying is a prayer of faith. It says, Matthew 11, 22, it says, and Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God, have God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and shall have them. The kingdom praying means we're going to be speaking to mountains. We're going to be speaking to things, not praying to God about things. That's kingdom prayer. Kingdom prayer is when you confront things based on what God has spoken to you, or you confront things in prayer based on the word of God, but you're not praying to God. God is saying, no, you use your authority and confront this. There is a prayer when you pray with God, you converse with God, you commune with God, you worship, you fellowship. But there's a prayer when you're dealing with an enemy, you're not praying to God, you're subduing the enemy based on the word of God. The centurion, put it this way, says, I am a man under authority. Because he told Jesus, say, listen, I know you're a man under, just speak the word. Just speak the word. He didn't say pray. He said, speak the word. My servant shall be healed, because I understand authority. When I say to this servant, do this. When I say to this, do that. If you watch when Jesus under his ministry was giving us this example, you will see hardly any time where when Jesus is addressing a need, addressing sickness or addressing things, he does not say, Father, do this, Father, do that, Father. He only does what he hears the Father do, and all he does is he speaks to the situation. You know, so for example, now that's why I say here, kingdom praying. And when we come under this mantle of God restoring the place of the church, restoring us back, we are going to be praying kingdom prayer. And kingdom prayer says, you will say to the mountain, you know, mountains means any kind of obstacle in situation, be thou removed, and it will obey you, and that. So now let me give you, I'm saying all that, another area to look at is kingdom prayer, is because it is all focused on the word of the Lord, on earth as it is in heaven. You receive in prayer the time you're waiting upon the Lord, but when you're dealing with the situation, it's not time to be talking to God. It's time to talk to that situation based on authority and power. You know, be it casting out devils, be it whatever. Let me give you an example. In the Old Testament, when somebody experienced this impartation of the word of God, in Jeremiah chapter 1, as God was impacting Jeremiah's life and preparing him and teaching him about his kingdom authority, this is what God said to Jeremiah. He said, Jeremiah, verse 9, then the Lord put his hand and touched my mouth. You see, because you speak out of your mouth, you believe in your heart, you speak out of your mouth. It touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. And he says, I put my words in thy mouth. Verse 10, see, you know, I have this day, now because you have your word in my mouth, I have this day set you over the nations, and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to tear down, to build and to plant. Again, he's saying, I am making you a mountain over the nations. I'm putting you, because of my word in your mouth, you rule over the kingdoms, the mountains of the earth. You establish, you direct their destiny through the words that come out, my words that come out of my mouth, not your words. So again, in the beginning,
was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You know, so when the Word becomes flesh, that's the maturity of sonship. And out of that, we begin to operate in kingdom prayer, kingdom identity. From kingdom identity, maturity, we are able to establish kingdom prayer. And kingdom prayer is enforcing kingdom authority. You know, so that's, those are the things we're going to be looking into as God begins to reshape our mindset in who we really are, that we lost and there's a resurrection. So the final scripture I want to read about why, where God is taking us and what he's doing, why I believe this season God is going to restore us from a very good example, again, like I told you with Micah chapter 4, that God will speak to Israel and then God will use it to speak to the church. So there's a very good scripture that God spoke to Israel. Israel has gone to the bottom of the bottom. They've lost identity, they lost hope, they lost everything. And God restored them. And God restored them. And God gave them back their place of power. And that's the same thing God is going to do now for the church and give us that place back of power. And then we, as representatives of God, you see now God says, you now speak on my behalf as the mountain that rules over mountain. So let's look at this, and this is where we'll close tonight. It's in the book of Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37 is about Israel and also about the church prophetically and what God wants to do and what God is doing. Ezekiel 37, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest. Verse 4, again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is a season that is going to be about the word of the Lord. You know, the Holy Spirit is going to start, and we're going to be hearing the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, God unto these bones. Again, speak to the mountain. Speak to this, the word of the Lord. Behold, yeah, there's somebody on the line. Okay. Behold, hello. Sorry. All right. Verse 5. Thus says the Lord God unto these bones. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and I will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So Ezekiel said, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, prophecy is just speaking the word of the Lord, there was a noise and there was a shaking, and the bones came together, bones to his bones. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews as the muscles, you know, and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he to me, see, God is not doing it himself, he's telling his representative to do it. Then said he to me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, prophesy, and say to the wind, say to the wind, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, breathe upon the slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our paths. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and I will cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you out of your graves. And you and I shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, I have spoken and have performed this, says the Lord. Now, we can't go into, you know this scripture, everybody talks about and preaches, but the point that we're going to be looking into the scripture is the restoration power. And the resurrection power and the restoration power of Israel. That's what God is saying here. Israel went through various seasons of their lives where they went literally to totally slaves in Egypt, or they come out, the next thing, God puts them on top, they come back, they sing, they go totally bottom, they come back, they do the same thing with Babylon. So it's just in and out. But this final one was after Israel was caught up, 2,000 years, they were disappeared in the earth. Just filtered, just gone, assimilated into the whole earth, 2,000 years ago. And now, right, 1948, God raised up Israel again. But God says, they will go through a process of time, and Israel will go back to almost a very bad situation. But God says, be right when Jesus comes, he will raise them up. It's like out of graves. But these are different seasons. So the point is, there are seasons in our lives, or like Israel, or the church has been in this situation, where we have become a saltless generation, you know, because the church has lost its strength. And the world now tramples, the world now rules, the mountains of the world is on top. So Israel were there, and they cried and says, we have no more hope. We are hopeless. We are like dry bones. Nothing will come out of us anymore. There's no hope. God says, no. If I made a covenant with you, there's no how far you can go that I cannot bring you. And God says, let me give you an example. If you go as far as your bones disjointed, your bones dried, like dead bones in valleys, where there is no trace of life, the bones are dry, there's no flesh to them, because I am God, there is nothing I cannot do. This is what I'll do. I can bring your bones, whether there are thousands of bones spread out, I will put the bones right in the right people. I will connect them together, and I will not only connect them together, unite them together, I will put flesh into you, I'll put muscle, I will recreate you, I will rebuild you, I will resurrect you, and after I have done that, I will put my spirit back in you, and I will raise you up again as a mountain that rules over the nations, a great and a mighty army. And you can see that in the book of Joel, in the end time, what God will do with Israel. Great work, but also speaking about the church. That the church will go through this desolate moment, this dry, very dry moment, and the church will be so divided that you don't have a clue how the church will ever become united and become this great prayer, Jesus, that they will be one as well. It's almost impossible with the denominations, with the defilement of the state of the church, with the pride, it's like we are so disjointed, so dry, so everybody's on his own kingdom. It's like, how can we ever? And the world is just ruling over the church, and the church is just, there's no, so God is, is saying, I will raise up the church again on the third, and I will not only raise up the church, I will bring the body together. It's a prayer that God will answer for Jesus. And when I bring my bride together, a glorious bride, I will anoint that bride, and the glory shall be seen upon the church, and the nations once again shall know. And then in Habakkuk it says, and the knowledge of the glory of the Lord that shall be seen will cover the earth as water covers the sea when God starts doing this. In other words, I will make you a light in the nations again on the hill, and men will be drawn to your light. You become once again the light of the world. And that's what we've been praying for. That's what we're believing for. God says, you think the church has no hope? Well, no, but God has made a covenant, as with Israel, with the church. God will restore, God will bring back, God will do it. And so this season we're entering into is a process. Is the work is beginning through this process. And as remnants that are hearing this word, God is awakening us, position ourselves as we start looking towards experiencing the process of what God is about to do and the restoration of this great army God will raise out of ashes, you know, to make us, to beautify us again with his glory, with his authority, with the mantle to harvest the earth for his own purpose. So we're going to be looking at all this, but I want to encourage you, no matter how far your children have gone, no matter how far your situations have gone, no matter what you've been through, you've not gone as far as dry bones. You've not gone as far as dead to the point where your bones are dry in the grave. God is saying, nobody has gone that far, but if I can bring back dry bones, if I can raise Lazarus, you can never have gone too far that I cannot restore you. So that's the power of restoration and restoration. And that's what God will do with us in these last days. And that's what he's beginning to do. And I pray all of us will move in that direction. And we'll talk more about it. Father, we thank you and we honor you. In Jesus' name.